Just give me a fucking countdown, please. Christ, we have a guest.
Yeah. Why don't you quit cursing then?
The following is a presentation of
the Lion and the Cub podcast.
With the 12th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
All right, so two running backs in the first 12 picks of an NFL Draft.
With the 18th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Jack Campbell, linebacker, Iowa.
Wow.
Oh, it's exciting times.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Lion and the Cub podcast. This is season three.
One, two,
three.
Thank you.
Episode one. Today is May 2nd, 2023. We have our free agency, the draft, and other football stuff. Well, it's been quite a while, and today we have some things that have changed. We have some things that have stayed the same.
Do I get introduced at any point here? People might have thought I passed away.
Go ahead.
No, you should introduce me. That's the Cub, and
yes.
I am the Lion. And
we
now
do it live.
A crisp 60 years old, and we have a guest with us today.
We do. We
Would
have
you like
the
to introduce
famous,
the guest, Cub?
Yes, we have the world famous, our most sponsored partner in the Lion and the Cub history, enhanced chiropractic's own Chuck P. Stone. Chuck, welcome to the podcast.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to have anybody, Chuck.
I'm excited to be here.
We have our Dolphins insider slash betting expert slash friend of the program, recurring guest. Now that he is on to the podcast, which is super exciting, we'll go ahead and get you the Lion and the Cub podcast recurring guest t-shirt
and monogrammed
like
underwear
it.
That's going to be coming out.
Yes. Ooh. We'll be coming out with silk underwear for the podcast, and what I am super excited about today's episode is we are going to catch you up with everything from free agency, the Lions draft, and all the bullshit baloney in between. We are here for season three. That is right, folks. They can't cancel us after three. It's going to take four. We have been through the 34-game rebuild together, but now everything is about division titles, playoff histories, and hopefully soon, finally, after a long wait, an NFL championship to go with 35, 52, 53, and 57, all of which occurred before the old man was born in 63, which means it definitely occurred before either Chuck or I was born. So, Lion?
Yeah.
Let's talk about some pre-draft moves to get us to where we were last week, shall we?
Boy, there has been so much that happened since the last time we were here to talk to you. Yes, there was all kinds of moves pre-draft. They had to get everything situated.
Might be one of the best pre-drafts off-season I've seen in my 30 years of existence. What do you think, Pops?
It seems to be the one thing to me that sticks out about these draft choices. I'm sorry, these signings. Now, these are the guys that have been added to the team. Almost all of them are one-year deals.
Yes.
1 year. Not 3 years, $30 million. Well, there is one that's 3 years, $33 million. But yeah, I like the 1 year. I like 1 year deals. What do you think, Chuck?
I mean, 1 year deals they give you some room to maneuver if you need to. You know, you don't know about this player, so might as well just, all right, hey, we think you can, you know, help our team, hopefully produce out there on the field, but we're not really sure based on your track record or you know, whatever that might be. So I think it's a smart idea.
Yeah, I think it was also a kind of an opportunity where players that could have signed, maybe even stayed with their team. I'm looking at specifically Emmanuel Mosley, CJ Gardner-Johnson, are my two biggest takeaways from this offseason, who I think are going to make very immediately impacts, because that is in the cornerbacks. That's our secondary at defense. These are kind of like prove it years for these guys, where they might have been able to sign a little, like, for a decent amount of change, maybe 4 years, you know, 30, 40 million, where these guys want to get paid. And we can use this as an opportunity to take a guy, you know, $8 million for CJ Gardner-Johnson. He shows out, he's going to get paid next year, but we're going to have the cap space for it, hopefully. We have about 20, we lose, close to 20 million left.
Or we lose them, and, you know, there it is. It's not a big
deal. Exactly. Or they suck, and then we replace them.
Right.
It's the only one that you could say is, you know, an intense signing is Cameron Sutton, but Cameron Sutton has proved that he is worth that money.
Right.
So,
all right, let's start listing them. We got cornerback MacDonald McCain. He signed a 1 year, $870,000 deal. Comes over from the Philadelphia Eagles. Is that a good team?
They were in the Super Bowl. Confirmed.
They were in it?
Yes.
They were in it to win it.
But they lost.
Did they lose?
Until the very end.
Until the very end. They were there.
Ah, who'd they lose to?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
That would be Chiefsaholic.
Oh, the
Kansas
Chiefs
City
won
Chiefs.
Again? I'm serious. I thought the Eagles won.
No clue.
No clue, the old man. No clue.
Jesus Christ.
I know, isn't it?
I wish the Eagles would have won.
Yeah, me too. We both wish the Eagles would have won.
In my world, they did. So, you know, I'm really kind of bummed
PTSD
now.
PTSD in my gambling account.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
If only the line was our bookie. Dang.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, I had to pay it out. Yep. Okay, next. Cornerback.
Closed quick.
Cornerback Cameron Sutton. He signed a 3 year, $33 million deal from Pittsburgh. There's a lot of Pennsylvania guys coming over.
That's for sure.
Next, cornerback Emmanuel Mosley signed a 1 year, $6 million deal. He's a $6 million man for those older people listening. Deal from San Francisco. Next, a really good signing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Running back David Montgomery signed a 3 year, $18 million deal from Chicago, $6 million a year from a division rival. Then a name that for some of you people maybe remember, the great Graham Glasgow. He signed a 1 year worth up to $4.5 million. He was a walk-on at U of M, played. He was a third-round pick of the Lions, and then he went to Denver.
Yep.
Didn't work out, and now he's back. So,
yep.
Then defensive back CJ Gardner-Johnson signed a 1 year, $8 million deal again from the state of Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia suddenly runner-up Super Bowl Eagles. It's just shocking.
I mean, if our listeners remember, we did stop at the Super Bowl. We never did a post Super Bowl recap.
We didn't. You're right.
I'm not going to hold you to this.
I'll have to admit that I wouldn't have remembered any better or worse. Hey, Chuck, if you hear of anybody here that you're like, oh, he is my favorite player, or anything like that, by all means, like I say, the next guy, long snapper. Jake McQuaid.
Yeah. One you know year... what? I was just wondering when you were going to mention his name.
Jake
my
McQuaid.
My favorite player.
Signed a 1 year, $1.3 million deal from Dallas, and he's going to compete with the guy that knocked off. Who's the guy they cut after 30 years
Jeez,
on his birthday?
That guy is talented.
Yeah. Oh, uh-oh. So they've who is our long snapper now? Long snapper. I'm looking. Boy,
well, it wasn't Don the Mule.
Right. Don Muleback was the one that got cut on his birthday. On his birthday. That's just not right. That's just unfair.
They just keep showing Don.
Daly?
Oh, Scott Daly?
Daly's long snapper now?
Scott Daly is our long snapper now.
Daly.
Yeah, so there's competition.
I guess we'll just see what happens there. I don't know if that money's guaranteed or if they cut him and it just goes away or what's the deal.
Yeah.
Linebacker Jalen Reeves-Maben. Yes, another former Lion comes back. He's from Houston. He had a huge contract at Houston last year.
Yeah.
And now he's back on a $1.75 million deal. So they know what they have because he was only in Houston 1 year, right? Or was it two years?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it was two years.
But it was a huge contract. He got paid.
And he now got he's paid.
But it didn't work out there. So
that's okay. Come home.
All right. Yeah, come on. You can always come home.
And one of my and favorite last, signings.
But certainly not least, Marvin Jones Jr. Is he a junior or a senior?
Yes, that is correct.
He signed a one-year, $3 million deal from Jacksonville. He is, what's he, 40? Marvin
Jones?
He's
not that old, but he will be wearing, as we'll see later on.
Don't get to the numbers. Don't give it away.
I'm not giving it away, buddy.
Okay, man. That's a teaser, everybody. We do have some numbers coming up, so.
And Marvin Jones Jr. does have a beautiful singing voice, so.
Does he?
There's that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See?
He's 33.
He's 33. Yeah.
We'll take it.
This might be his last rodeo. We'll see.
Hey, did we acquire any players via trade?
No. None.
Okay. None. Okay.
All right. The Lions released defensive tackle Michael Brock Brockers. Saves him $10 million in cap space. I think he might retire considering he was barely – he was only active for one game.
Yeah, it's a tough look.
Yeah. And then released wide receiver Quintez Cephas and safety C.J. Moore. They were suspended indefinitely for betting on NFL games. We'll get to more of that later on. Okay. Cub, did the Lions trade anybody?
That is correct. Some might say these were two very big trades for the team.
I think so.
We had Jeff Okuda to Atlanta for a fifth rounder, pick number 159 overall. We are paying his $1.5 million of his 23-year salary.
Yep.
Jeff Okuda, being the last piece, including Quintez Cephas of the, regime of Bob Quinn. And the rocket scientist, who will not be named. We also traded DeAndre Swift to Philadelphia for some draft picks, including a fourth rounder for next year, I believe.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, it's a fourth in 2024. We got like a fourth in this year's and a fifth in this year's as well.
And Okuda,
they got a fifth of ours.
Okuda will be a free agent at the end of the year. He loses his fifth year option because he was traded and what the Lions did with his salary and
not his fault he was drafted third, injury ridden. We wish nothing of the best to Okuda as a Ohio State fans here, all three of us.
What?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
gotta
so
love Okuda, but it is sad.
It is sad. So
he has a chance to have a good year and get a free agent contract.
This is his chance. Hopefully he's fully healthy. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I hope he can show out and I hope he gets paid. And I don't think any of these, releases besides Quinton Cephas and CJ Moore being dumbasses.
Dumbasses. They lose
those.
Oh, I think I get into that later. Yeah.
When
they lose and everything. Oh shit. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, the Lions re-sign their own free agents. Quarterback Nate Sudfeld, it's big, it's big, it's big. Running back Craig Reynolds.
He does it for his brother.
He's the one. Center Ross Perschenbacher. Offensive tackle Major Matt Nelson. Defensive tackle Isaiah Buggs, 2 years, $4.5 million. That's a nice re-sign.
A very good re-sign.
Number 54.
To match which are pick from this year. Yeah. I think they're going to be a really good dynamic one.
He's
too.
He's a good player. Same thing with Ed's John Kaminsky. 2 years, $8.5 million. Thank you.
Cheap.
Man, that guy's good.
He had the club.
Yeah.
He broke his hand or something and then played like the whole season with that flapping.
Linebacker Alex Analzoni. 3 years, $18.75 million. I don't see him playing 3 years for us. I might be wrong, but I just don't see how that works out.
I mean, you're
going to
see a transition. He's definitely going to be here for 3 years. I don't see him playing or starting after this year.
I think his playing time is going to diminish as these kind of 3 years go on.
He's a
decent player, and I've liked him. I honestly like him just like as a person player. I think it's just not looking good for him.
Well, especially based off the draft. I mean,
exactly.
In my opinion, I feel like Analzone is like the leader of the defense, especially in that linebacker position. You started a kind of transition with Rodrigo last year, but when you really bring in a guy like Jack Campbell, he's the Luke Kuechly of this generation. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how much
he's
going to grow from Alex Anzalone.
That is a hot take.
Signing. I know we'll get into that pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it a lot.
That is a giant hot take there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's so hot, but it's not scorching, but it's hot.
Boy, it's pretty. What did you call him again? The Luke
Kuechly of our generation.
He's like a Hall of Famer, right? Luke Kuechly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a hot take. Based on what the quarterback was doing, like he knew what was happening, so he would just tell his players what to do. It was insane.
They were saying Brad Holmes came out and said that Jack Holmes was completely building their entire defense during his.
Who's Jack
Holmes? Like they were. Brad Holmes.
Thank you. You said Brad Holmes is Jack Holmes is. You said Jack Holmes about somebody.
So Brad Holmes said about Jack Campbell.
Okay, there you go.
During his
pre-draft interview, Jack Campbell came to the table with an entire diagram of what their defense could do next year.
There you go.
Building their defense in that meeting.
Tell them quit being a
cocky
fucker.
They were set ever since. Yeah. They were so excited.
Yeah.
Well, at least they got their guy, and they didn't just waste all that time, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Got himself a job out of that.
You sound like a common sense NFL football fan here.
Well.
There we go.
You're not coming back.
We don't have any of those on these pods besides me.
Common sense. Philip just called Jack Campbell a Hall of Famer. Besides that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That might be a hot take.
That might be a hot take. Yeah. Yeah. He's Dick Butkus, but better. Let's see, who else did we re-sign? Will Harris, cornerback, 1 year, $2.53 million, guaranteed deal. Defensive back C.J. Moore, re-signed 2 years, $4.5 million. Defensive back Savion Smith, re-signed to a one-year deal. We're going to keep that price secret. Kicker Michael Badgley, 1 year, $1.2 million. Linebacker Anthony Pittman, Wayne Strait, tremendous school, re-signed 1 year, $940,000 deal. That must be the league minimum. Here is four. If you're going to put together an expansion team, here's four guys that remain unsigned. Running back Justin Jackson. Does he do it for his brother?
Nope.
No, it's the other
guy. That's Craig Reynolds.
Offensive tackle Dan the Skip Skipper, free agent. Guard Tommy Creamer. And defensive back Bobby Price. I would not be surprised if all four of those guys come back at some point. There's no practice squad right now, and I'm sure they're staying in good stead. Now we got these four guys that are stay with us. Exclusive rights, free agent, tight end Brock Wright, tight end Shane Zylstra. Did he have the game where he caught three touchdowns?
Yep.
With his brother.
The other Zylstra.
Defensive tackle Benito Jones and long snapper Scott Daly. 1 year. They're all on 1 year, $940,000 deals. That must be the minimum for whatever their experience is. That's very involved too.
How much would it cost for you to get on a team? Like in your physical body right now, how much money would it be for you to go and do an NFL season?
Well, for starters, I wouldn't last a day of training camp, better yet a season. If I tried my ass off, they would be rescue squads, buckets of water, oxygen.
Are you doing up-downs with Coach or what?
Am I what?
Are you doing up-downs with Coach Campbell?
I would do a down. I would just do a down.
A down.
I might be able to get, I would get back up at some point, so I guess that is a down-up I would do. Yeah, I'm not.
Okay. One up-down.
No.
One up-down. He could last one up-down. That's the answer.
I get exhausted playing nine holes of golf in a Ryder cart, so what do you think my chances are?
Yeah, what's your recovery time on that? 6 days?
I only play once a week, so I need seven days.
6 days to recover. Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Actually, not bad. I'm doing okay. Thanks.
I'm very
for
proud
asking.
Of you. You're
love that you play once a week. That's awesome.
Yeah. Chuck, a new golf enthusiast on the pod.
Yeah, I heard about that, Chuck. You just picked the game
up. Pretty much took it up last year.
What's your best round last year, Chuck? Go on, tell me.
Oh, you know, I'm not good enough where I like fully keep score. I don't even know my real handicap. But it's got to be like plus 30.
Well, yeah, but I mean, didn't you have a round once, 9 holes maybe you wrote the score down?
No, I actually did play in a league a couple times. I'd have to look at the app on my phone what my score was, but I was playing probably like, I want to say double, triple bogey-ish golf.
All right.
It's pretty solid.
That's pretty solid. Okay, Philip made it sound like you're much better than that. Maybe you're being a little coy, Chuck.
I don't actually know is why I'm not like, but I played yesterday and I was happy with myself.
He can't play all his hands right. He just got on the show, okay? Like, can we?
Yeah.
Let's let the mysteriousness of the Chuck P. Stone enhanced life.
When he comes in for the Lion and the Cub Open over at the Detroit Country Club, you know, and he shoots 63 for 18. We'll be like,
whoa.
Chuck.
Oh, God. I thought you were saying someone did, but
Chuck,
good Lord, no.
Come on, Chuck.
I'd be like 100.
To go on a total like tangent.
No, 100 this... some. Yeah. Oh,
that's okay. If I break 100.
Yeah, I think breaking 100 is always a.
Yeah, I was like, I definitely actually probably can't break 100. I mean, I know for a fact I can't.
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give you a hard time.
No, you're good.
Okay, thank you. These are the players that signed elsewhere in free agency. Cub, you want to take these?
Yeah, of course. So we have, these are the players we have lost.
Lost,
so
gone.
Everybody's not, just so everybody's understand, this is Deshaun Elliott, 1 year, $1.77 million with the Dolphins. How do you feel, Chuck?
Tell us about it,
you
Chuck.
Well, I don't know the player personally, but just based on the Lions defense last year, I'm not like super stoked about it. We did need a safety. So, you know, maybe he can, you know, players go to different teams all the time and flourish. So hopefully it can be one of those. But I guess I'm holding my breath on that.
There it is.
Nice. Don't
Chuck
hold too
P.
long.
Stone, blue in the face. Once in a while, take a breath, buddy. Okay.
A fan favorite who signed for less elsewhere.
And then said shitty things on the way out the door.
Yep. Jamal Williams, 3 years, $12 million with the Saints. Good luck.
Thanks for the
1 yard touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Can't believe him on the way out.
He was kind of a dick, but then he was kind of a dick when he left the Packers. So
he
has a history of dickish leaving behavior.
Center Evan Brown, 1 year, $2.25 million with the Seattle Seahawks.
He played it quite a bit when our starter.
Yeah, he
hurt.
Was pretty solid.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
But we did bring in a couple of. Well, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Linebacker
we'll get
Chris
there.
Board. 2 year deal with the Patriots worth up to $6.7 million. Austin Bryant, he's just with the 49ers.
He signed for nothing, is what I understand.
Mike Hughes, cornerback, 2 year deal with Atlanta. Amani
Oruwariye
signed a 1 year deal with the Giants. We're losing more Nigerian players.
It'll be easier for us,
which will be easier for you.
Yes.
I've had no problems, but.
That's the only reason I know how to say his last name is because of this podcast.
Oruwariye. It only took me about 14 games.
Oruwariye.
Oruwariye. It took me a while to get that one.
You're killing it. Josh Woods, 1 year deal with the Cardinals. And DJ Chark, 1 year deal with the Panthers.
Not going to miss him.
No, I'm not.
Took him like 8 games to even get going.
He was hyped up, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do have some future deal signings. I'm not too sure what that means.
I will tell you, there is no practice.
It's exciting.
There's no. Oh, it's exciting times. There's no practice squad in the off season. They expand the roster to 90, and so your future deals are guys that are on the practice squad, and then they're paid like I don't know, like $100 a week. It's crazy. It's crazy. Jesus. They don't make a lot of money, so. We got running back Jamar Jefferson. He does it for his brother. Tight end Derek Dease Jr. Dease nuts! Wide receiver Maurice Alexander. Wide receiver
specialist.
Stanley Berryhill. Wasn't he? Is he the guy that got cut? Because
Yeah.
Disregard him. Wide receiver Tom Kennedy, Kennedy. What is he? What is he, Cub?
Statistically, he is the best preseason wide receiver last year. Statistically.
Not I think forever.
Yeah, in history of preseasons, yep. 100%.
Offensive tackle, Obinna Easy.
Easy.
You know his brother, Obinna Hard. Offensive tackle, Darren Paulo. Defensive tackle, Demetrius Taylor. Cornerback, Jared Williams. Cornerback, Khalil Dorsey. Safety, Brady Breeze. It's just a breeze for Brady.
There's nothing more exciting than a talking possible practice squad players.
Or it's just
on
nothing.
May 2nd.
But you know what? We used our practice squad so much last year. We had guys coming off the practice squad and starting and then going right back on the practice squad. They get a game check. They activated some guys just to get them a game check. And it's a lot of
and
money.
And what other podcast would do this in-depth research? I mean, the people are, they need to know.
They need to know these things. If you're going to be a Lions fan, you got to know this shit. All right, here's another huge thing.
Some people talk about Gandhi's hunger strikes as our fans have been waiting months for practice squad updates.
They're hungry for some Lions information. Here is the numbers, jersey numbers that the free agents are going to wear. Marvin Jones Jr., he's a zero.
But can we talk about the number zero real quick? Because this is the first year that that's numbers being allowed.
Is it?
Yes.
You are spreading the info.
Yes. So the number zero in the NFL, I'm sure you can't hear my keyboard. On Tuesday, NFL league owners approved a proposal to permit players to wear the number zero for the first time. All positional groups except offensive and defensive linemen will be allowed to wear the number. It adds to the change implemented in 2021, which allowed most non-linemen to wear 1 through 49. This became live on March 29th, 2023.
I want a long snapper with a number zero. Give me it.
I'm so bricked up. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
That's pretty crazy. The NFL is just losing its mind, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so woke now.
It's so woke. Now, the number, the next guy, cornerback Cameron Sutton, he's number one, but it was Jameson Williams, as soon as Jeff Okuda was traded, was like on social media going, I want that number one, I want number one. And they said, fuck you, you're suspended for six games. We're going to give it to Cameron Sutton.
Sorry, he wouldn't Mr. have gotten Daniel. It even if he wasn't suspended.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, JMO needs to stay on the field. So
yeah, he needs to catch some balls first.
He needs to play at all.
defensive back CJ Gardner Johnson sounds like a law firm. He's number two.
Yeah, you could just call him CJ GJ.
CJ GJ. Yes.
That might be easier for you.
But, nah, I doubt it. Cornerback Emmanuel Mosley. He's a number four. Running back David Montgomery. He's a number five. Defensive back Mac McCain. 29, linebacker Jalen Reeves-Maybin, 42. He used to wear 44 when he played in Detroit, but that's Malcolm Rodriguez is wearing that number, and he ain't giving it up, okay? So it's 42. Long snapper Jake McQuaid, he's number 50, so keep your eye on that. And then guard Graham Glasgow, he's reclaimed his old number 60.
Oh, I don't have to change my jersey.
Yeah,
Thank the Lord.
So you can run right out and get that Cameron Sutton number one or Mac McCain number 29.
CJ number two.
Get that high-value Marvin Jones.
Get that CJ GJ.
The first year of zero, it actually might be something.
Yes, you know what?
I was
this
joking,
might be worth money in the long run, Dad. We've got to invest in MJJ's number zero jerseys.
Okay, that's a great idea, man. MJJ.
We were having a really nice offseason.
It was going pretty good, wasn't it?
A week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and then, we got four guys suspended. I think I told you this before. There's been seven guys in NFL history, well, modern history, seven guys suspended for gambling. Four of them are Lions.
Yeah.
Dear me, that's not good. All right, so here's the deal. Jameson Williams is going to lose $382,906 in game checks, but and it's not fully decided yet. But the team may be able to claw back some money they've given him. And you know the Lions have a history of wanting their dough back. Ask Megatron. And he no longer has $6.9 million in guarantees. He loses that because of his suspension. That's not good.
$6.9 to place a $1,000 bet, probably.
If that.
Berryhill, Stanley Berryhill will lose $290,000 in game checks if he makes the 53-man roster. So he's got these guys can practice right up until the regular season starts, then they can't even be in the building. So JMO's going to need, 6 weeks suspension. He's going to need three or four weeks to, get back in game shape and practice. And then, there's seven games to go. But then if we're humming along, how do you get him in the game when everybody else is playing good? So then he's going to be sulking on the sideline. I'm not playing enough. And he'll be bitching on Twitter, and now suddenly two of his four guaranteed seasons are gone.
CJ Moore, who kind of got fucked as well. So,
yes, CJ Moore had just signed his contract, and now they're arguing over the deal with him because he signed his contract after he made the bet. They could have a $700,000 cap hit. They're not sure. That's got to be worked out, too. And then when it comes down to Quintez Cephas, it's just a 76,000 cap hit. Go ahead.
And he's just gone. They just cut him. So
they cut him, and they cut more, too. Because they're suspended for the whole Chinese year.
Yeah, C.J. Moore and Quintez Cephas both got cut.
Yeah, because they bet on football. They're indefinitely suspended. Yeah. It's a minimum of a year. So bye-bye.
Yeah.
Fucked your whole career up.
Yeah, so that's why the 700,000 cap hit could be in the next two seasons for releasing more, but the situation is unsettled and the Lions may end up receiving no cap hit at all.
Yeah, so they're trying to claim the bet was placed prior to him signing his contract, so the contract should be null and void. No cap hit.
Yep.
So, and then Cephas is nothing, 76 grand. They wiped their ass with $10,000 bills up in the boxes at Ford Field. So that's not a problem.
So that is a recap of the off season. So this is everything up to last Thursday has happened.
Gains and losses.
Gains and losses.
Games and losses.
And now. Your 2023 Detroit Lions draft class.
Now I thought we would list the class without, we're not going to do it in order. We're just going to list the class without the round or the overall pick. Okay?
I love this idea. Okay, and what are we going to do? Say whether we love it or we hate it?
I think you need to look at the whole draft class as a whole. There's eight guys in it, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
okay,
7.
Okay, go ahead.
And I don't remember ever out on the field the officials asking what a player's draft spot was. That tackle doesn't count because you were a third rounder, that kind of thing. It really comes down to if these guys can play. It doesn't matter when they were drafted.
What I would like to do.
Yes.
Okay. Team and Chuck.
Yes.
I think it'd be fun if let's do no rounds or pick number.
Okay.
But I would like to give us a grade based off how we think the player is going to be impactful in the next season.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay, fine.
In just the next season. All right.
Well, okay. No, you know what? Fine. Let's just do overall. How do we think this player is going to do?
Have a career?
Way too early evaluation.
Barring injury.
A+. Yes.
You'd have to assume.
All right.
Okay. Is that fair?
Yep, and I've got their jersey numbers if you want to run out to the Fanatics store and pick one up.
I don't think Fanatics needs any of my money.
Okay, well, that's like the only place you can get anything involving sports.
Well, yes.
You have to go to Fanatics.
Shout out to the Monopoly.
Shout out Monopoly, that's right.
Okay, you go ahead, and then
offensive lineman Colby Sorsdahl out of William and Mary, number 75. I got my Sorsdahl jersey on order.
I'm gonna highlight them as you say them, so okay. that we know who
there
we've
you go.
Said.
I can't, you know, I don't know these guys, but Colby Sorsdahl, William and Mary.
Oh, I do.
I think. Oh well, I'm thinking. He's going to be a fringe player, marginal. I might be wrong on that, but I would give him, I'd give him a C.
Okay.
Okay.
Chuck, any thoughts? I know you know where William and Mary is, at least.
Yes, yes. One of our schoolmates went there, but I mean, you guys kind of needed it, but it's like he's definitely a project. You know, he's definitely not going to start next year or anything. But hey, he's got a great head of hair on him.
Oh,
I know that. He's got some luscious locks.
Look, that's why you're
so
here,
I have
Chuck.
Hope for him.
I love luscious locks.
Letter grade?
I'll give it a C.
Nice.
Or C plus. I'll give it a C plus.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Okay.
I think if he makes the roster, which your draft choices should make your roster, you know,
yeah.
he's going to be a.
He's going to be fighting with Easy for that reserve role.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 6'5". He's 304 pounds.
Well, that's a big mamma jamma, yeah, as you used to say.
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
He started 46 games at right tackle, and he was the team captain in 2022.
Well, team captain, I like those.
He earned All-American first-team honors, and he allowed the fourth fewest sacks in the nation. His team did.
Wow. Okay.
Many people didn't see him actually getting drafted, but he was considered a high UDFA prospect.
Okay.
Offensive line expert Duke Mayweather.
Duke tells
said,
us about
at
it.
Lions, just got the sleeper of the entire draft.
I don't want him sleeping. I want him wide awake. How's he going to play
flex
sleeping?
Arm emojis.
What?
My thought process is that he might move in inside.
Well, yeah,
he doesn't
got
really
to.
Have the length
play.
Of a true.
He's not going to play right tackle.
Guard. He's not going to play tackle at all.
No, he's not going to play right or left tackle. So he's got to be
guard. With that being said, though, I'd like to give it a B-.
B-.
I think he has the athletics to build into a true explosive offensive lineman. He has four critical components: size, experience, moves very well, and toughness.
You're not reading.
I'm very curious to see. I wrote all this down.
Okay.
I wrote all this down
when you were watching film.
Yes, I'd like to give him a B. You'd be surprised how much film I've actually watched on.
I would be.
Draft.
You're right. If you've watched any film, I'd be surprised. You're right.
You know, I will say I watch film on every draft, every of your draft picks.
Yep.
So have I. Okay. How about you?
So that's he's a round 5 pick, 152 overall.
Yep.
Okay.
Round 5.
All right. Next. Defensive back Brian Branch. He's number 32.
Out of
the it's a new school, just came into Division 1. They're called Alabama. Southern.
Not the Crimson.
They call
Crimson
Alabama
Tide?
The Crimson Tide, and they call me Deacon Blues. That's right.
Ba-dum-bum.
There it is. We've got two Alabama guys and two Iowa guys in the draft.
Yes.
How about that?
So what's your thoughts on Mr. Brian Branch, Pops?
Brian Branch, from everything I've seen, this guy was like, should have been in the first round, even though
should
we're not talking about
pick.
Locations. But a lot of people were very high on Brian Branch.
Because he was
only
there.
Allowed, what was the thing we read, Phil, the night of the draft? He was the only.
3 missed tackles in 4 years?
In 4 years.
Yeah.
Let's see if
didn't
we're
going to.
You know, I'm going to start counting the first game and see if we can get through the
half.
That's one.
What,
that's two.
You said that Nick Saban said he was one of the best players he had ever coached.
Yes. Nick Saban, not a man to bullshit, Nick Saban. So
not
I think
a
he's
man.
A lot of people saying he's the steal of the draft. He seems like a really quality player, guy that's gonna start.
He's definitely one of the plug and play players.
I would
100%.
Give this pick an A.
Okay, Chuck, any thoughts?
I was gonna say he's definitely gonna start right off the bat for you guys. I think he'll play nicely next to Campbell.
Yes.
You know, in that in the defense.
Those are two.
And you know, I don't know a whole lot about defenses. I was terrible in Madden. So I hear you, but I just think that having those two guys there to kind of bring some liveliness, because I felt like the defense was sometimes sleeping last year.
Oh, boy.
So it's like at least at that point it'll keep.
If they didn't get to the quarterback, it was over.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Our secondary was exposed.
Oh, boy. On the back end, yeah.
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 A letter?
Ooh, I'd give that an A.
Okay.
Probably an A+. I mean, it was,
what?
You know, the fact that
Chuck.
I mean, it might be the best draft. Maybe.
Are you saying he's a lock Hall of Famer? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know about that, but I mean, he probably has the potential.
What?
All right,
man, that's a hot take.
Overall pick. That's Brian Branch.
Yeah, he's round two.
I give this an A++, S+.
Okay. Did you already give your info on him, on Prof Chill there?
What'd you say, Pops?
Cub? Did you already give your grade on him?
A++.
A++. Okay.
Here's why.
Tell me why.
Phil's a need. We needed a good defensive back.
Phil's a hell of a guy, too.
Speed. He's quick.
He's got good twitch muscles.
He's a jack of all trades in the safety, strong safety. He can play the nickel, can play outside, can play inside. I mean, he's literally a jack of all trades that will fit in perfectly with CJGJ, Cam Sutton, Tracy Walker's coming back strong. Like, it's going to be, to be honest, he was our fourth pick in the draft. He was picked 45th overall, round two.
Yep.
I was pretty upset with our first three picks, besides maybe Jack.
We're not talking about when guys were picked, Cub. We're looking at the draft as an overall thing.
True. I sent a lot of emojis of Ron Burgundy with a boner to my dad that day after we had drafted.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. There was some obscene material.
I really think that he could be the next Brian Dawkins. He could be the next, like, I don't know. I'm very excited for the possibility of what he can be.
They've really rebuilt their back end. I mean, they really
have. That's the thing that pisses me off about Pacco.
Oh,
he's
no.
talking about the defense, and he wants that we skipped on Jalen Carter, and that was the biggest mistake, that we're going to look back at that over not drafting Aaron Donald and shit. I'm sorry, but the junk in the middle, in the front, wasn't really the biggest issue. Besides, maybe they'd get tired after a while, so we need depth. But because they couldn't get there, our secondary just got exposed.
Exposed.
Now that we have an actual solid secondary that won't get exposed every play.
Kaminsky,
if our defensive line can't
Hutchinson,
make it.
They're going to be coming. They're going to be coming.
Bugs. Aleem the Dream McNeil. Yep. Like, don't forget about my boy 54.
Yeah, Isaiah Buzz.
He's going to have a huge third season.
He's coming.
I don't know.
They're all coming,
go ahead,
man. So
all right.
I think Phil's coming.
Phil's coming. Phil's going to be the fourth man in on that nickel package.
I've got the build for a nose tackle, so.
I've seen Phil on the football field. He used to breathe fire.
Have the heart of not a football player.
Oh, man. No. He was a man for others. All right. we're going to move now to wide receiver Antoine Green out of North Carolina, number 80 for you Jersey fans. Number 80. I don't know shit about wide receiver Antoine Green. I'd have to give him an incomplete because I wouldn't know if he walked in the front door.
Chuck, have you watched any tape on Mr. Antoine Green?
I did. And, you know, coming from the UNC offense, you're kind of like, all right, he's a ho-hum player. But, you know, which for the most part, I felt like he kind of was. It wasn't super spectacular on tape. He's got a bit of quickness, but you know, he had some flashes. I was like, okay, there's something to build on there, but you know, much to be desired.
He's a project, you think?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I would give it the grade. Probably a C minus.
C minus.
B plus. C minus, right. Yeah. That's where I'm feeling.
Okay.
Boys, am I excited?
Exciting times.
Listen, 6'2", 199, 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns in 24 starts. That's 19 yards per catch. Again, he's in the ACC, North Carolina, whatever. He ran a 4.47 40 at the combine. But this is where things start to get spicy. Okay. I don't know if anybody knows about this, but the relative athletic score, it's a new thing that I've found this year called the RAS. Okay. He had an 8.68 RAS out of a possible 10. He is ranked 405 out of 3,062 wide receivers from 1987 to 2023. This is comparing every wide receiver from 1987 to 2023. Listen, I'm telling you.
You do tell me.
We're going to look back on Mr. Irrelevant for the Lions from this draft, and we will be very happy. I think for the value at the pick, I'm still going to give it a C+, because, again, we don't really know. I don't think we did any reaching here. If anything, I think we got an absolute stud. And to just be there as another piece. So
great.
There we go.
Perfect. Was round 7, pick 219. So,
that's good. Great value.
I think it is really good value. He seems like he can play. So we'll see. He makes the team and he produces seventh round.
And I remember one thing that I picked up on when I was watching is he does really good to like come back to the ball to like help the quarterback.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, moving on now. Quarterback Hendon Hooker, Tennessee, number 12.
Oh, it's exciting times.
It certainly is, Coach. There's no doubt about that. Hendon Hooker injured, but was the SEC Player of the Year, right?
Yes.
Was great until that on a non-contact injury. I did read that, and that always worries me. Non-contact injuries, it's like, oh, shit. It just blew up on him. ACL, right? It was MCL. Hey, Chuck, you've got the medical info, right? It was a ACL?
I believe it was an ACL. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Okay.
And it did not look good. I remember I recently just rewatched the injury, and it was, I think, probably on when he was drafted. I looked it up, and yeah, it did not look good. He was just trying to make a cut, and it just gave out on him. I was like, ooh, there's something else
too bad when that
going
happens.
On there. Like, why did it all of a sudden just give out? So,
but it's not like
it
the
is,
old
it
days.
It is a little bit worrying.
It is better than the old days when it was like, a knee injury and the guy was done. Or he was just
they have a lot more life left in him these
days. He's running already. I think they were showing him backing up from center or something like that. So
three-step drops.
And they don't need him. They don't need
him. That's the best part.
That's the best part.
That is the best part.
What would Hendon Hooker have been if he had been healthy? Would he have been top five?
He would have been in the top five, 100%.
Yep.
He goes before Anthony Richardson, in my opinion. What do you think?
I was
going to
say, they probably take him over Anthony Richardson, the Colts.
100%.
And so, I would, too.
Yeah, he looked like
a great player.
I think
that him and Richardson are kind of like even level now, but Hooker has a higher ceiling.
Yeah, 3 years
25.
From now.
He is 25, though.
That is a problem. And Jared Goff is 28. So.
Yeah. His name is Jared.
He's all in.
I'm all in on Jared Goff next season. I mean, at least for another season.
There you go. There it was. One of the greatest drops.
I guess Richardson is 20, but I don't know. I guess it's just the way that I see them. It just feels that way.
Totally. Yeah. I couldn't be more excited for the Lions. I think this really sums up my thoughts about just the draft in general. Is thank you, Brad Holmes, for putting pressure on our quarterback to be better. Matthew Stafford not once felt a lick of
pressure.
Hey, I might lose my job to someone else ever while he was at Detroit.
Yep, absolutely.
So true.
And that's what I said on the Twitter sphere was like, this is the first time in my memory the Lions have drafted a quarterback when they have a quarterback who's pretty good under contract, and but they're going out and trying to get another good quarterback because you just never know. And, you know, a couple of years from now, what's the deal going to be with Jared Goff? Is he going to leave? I mean, you know, the whole thing. Or you could trade Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker gets healthy.
What I'm saying.
You know, he looks great in preseason games. Maybe something happens and he has to start a couple of games and he looks really good. You know, Brad Holmes, he's a wheeler dealer. I really like this pick. I'm going to give it an A. I'm going to give it an A.
Okay.
Oh, I definitely give it an A. I guess I didn't give
100%.
Mine.
100%. No, I don't think any of us did. It was just plain.
Hey, newsflash. Newsflash to anybody out there that's a negative golfer. Newsflash for you, sucker. He was a first overall pick and has played in a Super Bowl. So just relax, everybody.
Who's that?
Jared Goff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I like Jared.
People forget that Jared Goff was a number one draft pick. I think they forget that
number one overall pick.
He played, number one. That's what I'm saying. I think
play another 10
like,
years.
That's, we literally, like, could have not, this could not be going better. Did the first year with Goff, was it rough? Sure. But that dude was down in the dumpies and was getting pushed out of he led that team to a Super Bowl. Like, imagine how you would feel coming into a city like Detroit that has such this negative, and he's invested into the city. He is locked in on Detroit. I couldn't be
he's
more
a good
excited
citizen. He's not getting
future.
In any problems like Ben Roethlisberger.
Not gambling.
Right. Right. No, he's not
pushing women over at Super Bowl celebrations, and they break their neck, and then he's too drunk to help them up.
He didn't push her. He just happened to see her walk off the end of the stage, but... Yeah, that was a bad one, but yeah. No, I
love this pick.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to be. It's
good
just
risk.
Quality.
It's high risk, high reward.
Okay, next. Defensive chat. Oh, by the way, Hendon Hooker was round 3, pick 68. That's nice.
That is next.
Defensive tackle Broderick Martin, Western Kentucky, number 98 for Fanatic fans. What I heard was that he was a project. I've heard some really good things about him. He's a mountain of a man. He has the giant hands.
Of nature athlete.
Yeah, some people are like, "Whoa, why did they draft him?" You know, but this goes right in there with the defensive tackles, man. That defensive line.
Yep.
He's going to get chances to play and see what he can do. I'm going to give this one an incomplete C because I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
That's fair. Chuck?
I definitely didn't know, you know, anything about him before. Heard that, you know, he was kind of a high undrafted free agent prospect, basically. So it felt like kind of a reach when they got him. But then again, you know, you got to get your guys when you need your guys, you know. So I think that that's kind of what they were thinking with that. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's got a lot of upside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 6'5", 330. In his post-draft interview with the team, he said, where does he like to play? He said, well, my favorite spot is just anywhere over the center. It doesn't matter if it's 1-0, anywhere over the center is where I like to be. It's where I've done the most. It's what I like and what I've done the most. I've played 3 tech. I played 4, just anywhere. I'm a defensive lineman, not just nose guard. I'm a defensive tackle. I'm a lineman. I've been everywhere.
There you go.
And you guys need depth there.
100%. You could tell
he plugs up.
He's
holes.
A natural space eater.
He takes up a lot of space. Yeah, he's a good run stopper. It's the pass problem. He's not a pass.
That's fine because guess what?
What?
We got cooked. Our run game. Got sliced, diced, thriced, and bliced on the run stop.
It was not pretty.
It was not pretty.
Yeah, I agree.
You needed a run stopper bad. He'll be a big stopgap in there.
Yeah.
Now people are saying it's a reach. Sure, maybe it is a reach.
Maybe it
is.
But
again, we don't draft scared. We don't play scared. fucking keep it pushing.
There you go, man. Boy, that's the mantra, isn't it, Phil? We don't draft scared. I mean, we don't play scared.
Yeah, and I think that was a shot at DeAndre Swift. I'm just saying.
Maybe. I don't think.
Why do you say that?
Just because he used to kick it outside all the time. He wouldn't run. Because
he would never
tackles.
Run forward. He was always trying to bounce it. Bounce it outside.
Don't go between the tackles.
That's true.
That's what
I don't know how many times we were yelling at the TV, Phil, or at least I was.
Yes.
Just like, what are you doing? Just run north and south for the love of God. This east to west stuff doesn't do shit for us.
Nope.
Yep. Yeah. Now, that's why he was never in on the goal line. You know?
Yep. And that's why Jamal's. Had 20 plus touchdowns.
They were all 1 yard runs, but that's okay. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Thanks for the 1 yard touchdown runs.
Hey, thanks for the ATTDs, baby. Anytime touchdown.
That's it.
Love that.
Phil
Love that.
Did well with that. Plays. Yep. Okay. So moving on. Jack Campbell, linebacker, Iowa.
A plus.
Number 46. Jeez. Oh, wow. No hesitation from the Cub. Number 46. It's an A plus. I've heard that he's Chris Spielman, but faster. We'll see. If he is Chris Spielman, but faster, he's an A, because that was the one knock on Chris Spielman. And he used to come out on passing downs a lot. That, I mean, he was a pursuit, never stop motor. He would chase guys all over the field, never give up, but he couldn't cover the back out of the backfield, you know, if they'd run a crossing pattern. If they didn't make him throw quickly, Chris would, he had deficiencies. He was I think he was the first pick of the second round, something like that. He was not even a first round draft choice. So, Jack Campbell, everything I hear, all I know about Iowa is that they had a great defense and a shitty offense. So,
correct.
That's basically what I know.
Yeah. So he must have been pretty good. There you go. I don't know what I would give him, B plus, till we know how he actually plays out there. But he seems to have game smarts and speed, and you know, it seems like it's a great pick.
That game smarts piece, I think, is super important. I think that just knowing the game, knowing all the pieces around you and how they fit together. Phil and I talk about this with gaming a lot, but it's true and probably even more true in sports and stuff. So having him being able to, like Phil said earlier, be the quarterback of the defense, I think it's hugely important for you guys, especially when, I mean, who would you say was the quarterback of the defense last year? Anal Zone or So, you know, I think that it's nice to almost have two people they can rely on. You know, you don't got to shout across the field. I think it'll help communication amongst the defense, which that's so key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess I'll be slightly more optimistic than the Lion. I'll give it an A- until we see for sure. But yeah, I think it's a great pick.
Could be a great one.
Could be a great pick.
Tell us, Cub. Tell us all about it.
Guys. Okay. Right. Jack Campbell.
You sound like you're hyperventilating there.
Guys, I am ecstatic Jack Campbell.
I know what a miserable prick the Cub is. For him to be ecstatic is a major accomplishment.
6'5", 249, okay?
Yep, that's big.
I watched the highlights. I watched the highlight of Blake Corum giving him a good juke move.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, Michigan running back made him look very silly, and that's all I saw after the Lions drafted him. Okay. I've heard of words like reached. I've heard of words like he would have been there in the second round.
Maybe.
Here's the things. Okay?
Maybe.
Okay, tell us about it. Preach to us.
His RAS, relative athletic score.
Yeah.
Is a 9.98 out of 10.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's the highest rated linebacker ever in this RAS calculation.
And that's been around almost 6 months. So
yeah, I don't know. I just started looking into this guy. His name is Kent Lee Platt. He's got 39,000 followers, and he is the creator of the RAS football.
Okay.
So I'll just say this. RAS is based off of how athletic a player is.
Okay.
He ran a 4.65, which is a 7.95 out of 10. But his 20-yard split and his 10-yard split was 2.67 and 1.58. Those are in the 80th percentiles.
Wow.
His height is in the 98th percentile.
He's big.
And his weight is in the 92nd. His vertical was a 37.5. His board jump was 1008. His shuttles, everything. His hand size is a 10.25. He is literally going to be a plug and play. He's a starter day one.
Wow.
And like I said, he is a Dan Campbell guy through and through. As Dan said on the phone, very funny. I like your last name. Dan's got a little bit of sense of humor.
He's a wisecracker.
I just think that we have been yearning for a linebacker like this since, God, Levy, maybe? DeAndre Levy was
probably our last good one.
Really good, solid, where it was like, okay, like, you know, this is, we're good here. And it feels, yeah, I really liked Levy. I think they play super similar positions, but like I said, he is the next Luke Kuechly. I will stand on
again.
That. I will die on that hill. I don't care.
Doesn't care.
I am bricked up to the max.
Oh my.
On Jack Campbell.
The Lions going to keep their receipts on this one.
Yes, that's fine. He's got all my receipts about Jared Goff. He can have my receipts about this.
Hey,
I will die on this.
Chuck, I could just do hours of the Cub spouting about players.
I mean, you have hours of sound bites. So,
that's what I mean. I could just do a whole sound bite show. If something ever happens to the Cubs voice.
Special midweek episode.
Yeah, if something ever happens to the Cubs voice, we're fine. We're fine.
Yeah,
we just play those.
We can recreate it with AI.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I've got a 16-game brain.
You know, things like that. And there's many more where that came from. Trust me. I got so many. Oh, my goodness. Pissed off. Where is... Oh, here we go. This is a classic here.
Are we recording?
Yep. Oh, no, that's not it. Where is it?
Watch your language, young fella.
Oh, no, that's not it.
Oh, why can't we win a game?
There you go. That was during the dark
the best
days.
One.
That might have been after they lost to Baltimore on the longest field goal in NFL.
I think it was, to be honest.
The dog days of the 34-game rebuild process.
That was the 15 minutes of the Cub just losing it. I got so many shitty drops about Jared Goff. Oh, you wouldn't believe he wants his family all killed off, the children eaten.
I never said any of that. I might have talked about his ability to throw.
Oh, boy. He's self-sacking. He's self-sacking. Oh, boy. He just sits down. What's he doing? He's turning around, turning his back. Oh, he sat down. Oh, what's he doing? Oh, and then he got upset from there. Okay, so that was Jack Campbell. He was round one, pick 18. That's what people didn't like about that. Everything's great until you tell them round one, pick 18. Okay, we're almost done. We got two left to go. We're going to go with tight end Sam Laporta out of Iowa. They're putting the team back together. Number 87 out of tight end U. T.J. Hockenson's replacement is T.J. Hockenson, but faster, and he can get downfield. He's not just a blocker or a possession receiver. He has moves that can cause people to miss, is what I read. So we'll see if they work in the NFL, because guys tend to be better in the NFL than they are at Northwestern. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. I like this pick. We needed a starting tight end to replace. You know, he's younger than T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah.
T.J. Hockenson's in his fifth year this coming season. Sam Laporte obviously is going to...
people were a little frustrated, I guess, because there was Mayer, tight end from Notre Dame, that was still there.
I don't know.
Mayer was the projected number one tight end in this draft. So I definitely can understand
But
that.
After what's his name? Because there's the other Iowa tight end.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. It
starts with a C.
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
Crappy,
you should know.
Scrumpy,
your wife's an Iowan.
Oh my. What
do
you think he learned by osmosis?
Yeah, but the number one guy didn't go to Iowa.
Yeah, the first guy that was drafted tight end in the first round.
You're talking about who actually went first.
Yeah, okay. It was. God, what the fuck is his name?
What the?
It starts with a C, right?
Only like we had computers in front of us.
Yeah, I've literally typed in Iowa tight end.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
What?
Yeah,
yeah, I could be like, very wrong.
That is the last thing I'm thinking.
No, I guess he did go. Never mind. I thought it started.
I thought you were talking about the guy from Georgia, Darnell Washington.
Oh, but he went after, right? Or did he go first?
Yeah, I think he went after, but
I don't know. Never mind. Just keep talking.
Never mind. We're gonna keep moving along. Okay.
Yeah.
He was round two, pick 34. So I guess if he had been round two, maybe see round three, pick 68, everybody'd love tight end Sam LaPorta.
Dalton Kincaid. He went to Utah, though. Sorry. I thought he went to Iowa, but he was the first tight end taken in this draft. I do apologize.
Okay, finally. All right, good. I'm glad we can move on from that. And then
I like his hands. I like his yak, his yard after the catch.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. Really good.
He had a fucking jabroni throwing him the ball. I mean, it's Iowa, for Christ's sake.
Are you allowed to say that word?
Jabroni?
Yeah.
Yeah, who would be offended by
Jabroni? Somebody would be offended. Like just be careful.
A foolish or let me see. I'm looking
jabroni.
It up.
Jabroni.
Get it together, you jabronis. Informal U.S. Anyways, I like his hands. I'm excited for him.
All right.
And, yeah, I think it's going to be... At least it wasn't in the first round. That's all I'll say.
Well, see, yeah, that's going to get to my point when we're all done. Now, here's the last one. It's running back Jahmyr Gibbs. Yep.
Good job, Dad.
Alabama. I had to look at it. Alabama number 26. And there's going to be a lot of Gibbs 26 jerseys at Ford Field.
A lot.
I'm hearing that this guy is everything, since we've shown everybody else here, he's round one, pick 12, and that's what people don't like. Nobody says he isn't great.
Yeah, I don't think, well, there's definitely people that are upset by the pick. I think more people are upset that we traded back at six when we could have drafted Jalen Carter, who, again, if it doesn't come out that he was part of that dangerous and absolutely heartbreaking crash at Georgia, and all this legal shit comes out, and then we have the gambling situation.
We got enough problems.
I will say that I think that the Lions would have stayed at six if Witherspoon or Anthony Richardson were available at six.
Who's Witherspoon?
The cornerback from Illinois.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was what all the talk I heard was they were going to take him.
Yeah, but he got picked at five.
Right.
And so I think once
that's
he got
why they traded
five,
down.
That's when the Lions traded back, and
yeah,
definitely.
And then we got Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, it makes total sense, right? We need an offensive threat. Swift only started 12 games in his Lions career, or maybe it was 18. One of those, I believe it was
whatever.
Only 12.
He was hurt.
Or maybe it was 16.
He was permanently on the injury report and didn't practice 2 years ago. Remember, every week. He was on the injury report with like three different things. And Jahmyr Gibbs is, from what I understand, is faster. He's younger.
Yep.
Obviously. Correct. And he's what we needed, and that's why they traded away.
Yeah. I was actually most impressed by his film.
Yes.
So elusive. I was pretty amazed, like creating a lot of space. And he can catch passes really well. Like, he literally, I mean, I was like, dang, he's a good route runner, you know, because of his ability to change direction so quickly. And he does this same little move. I saw it over and over and over. It's just like this subtle little shake of the hips and shoulders. Like, most people's juke is like very kind of exaggerated. Mm-hmm. He wastes no effort and just cuts and he's gone.
He's so fast.
You need speed in the NFL, man. You really do.
I couldn't agree more, Chuck. I watched a lot of, and they talk about him not being able to run through the tackles. At Georgia Tech, he ran through the tackles, and at Alabama, he ran through the tackles.
I saw a lot of missed tackles. I saw a lot.
Yeah. I just meant like running up the middle, I guess, instead of bouncing outside all the time, which is what DeAndre Swift could never really do. yeah. Was run through like the, you know, through the left and right tackle. And like, I like his patience. Obviously, he played behind a great offensive line. I don't know if anybody knows this or not. Alabama's pretty damn good.
I've heard they're up and coming.
And, you know, I watch. He's just. I'm watching highlights right now, and I am.
Beside yourself.
August can't come soon enough. So
there you go.
I'm really excited by this. I think, again, you don't. I'm being hypocritical of myself, but you don't.
What?
I don't like drafting running backs.
No, I don't either.
I'd rather sign a running back, but I think
dime a dozen.
I think the Lions have this win now mentality, which again, no other regime had, and Brad Holmes had. You know, I've heard it plenty of times, is that he went and saw him play and he fell in love, and so that's why he picked him. I think Brad Holmes falls in love with players based off their skills and not just one game. As he said in that. You know, in that quote that we shared on our Twitter, he's been doing this for 9 months while you've been doing it for 3 months with your mock drafts. So let's trust the people that have been doing this year round versus the people that only do it for a couple of months.
Right. They don't know.
He's freaking guessing. He's going to be good.
All they do is look at other people's mock drafts and act like they're really smart.
I almost sent you a mock draft for next year that the Pride of Detroit posted.
I saw it. It's going to explode.
Way too early. Oh. Way too early mock drafts. You don't even know where people are going to pick at.
Oh,
I love that. But I will say that I'm going to be very, very excited. That running tandem. If you sit here and look me in the face and you try to tell me that Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift is a better combo than David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Get it right. I did.
You're smoking crack. So
yeah, no, you just say that. That's all. And it is a better tandem. You're absolutely
it's a better
right.
And, younger, faster,
and
more
I
room
think
to grow.
Tight end Sam Laporta is going to be the best tight end on our team.
100%.
The other guys are serviceable. Some guys block. They caught passes. Yep. Zylstra, but he is
Brock Wright.
Brock Wright, yeah, hey, that's great, but they are not going to be Sam Laporta.
Yes, 100%. I mean,
so
they
drafted 8 guys, and if you just mix up the order of when they pick people, the draft looks better, which is silly because they all go on the field at the same time or, you know, on offense and defense. So, yes, they drafted 5 offensive players and 3 defensive players, but they signed 42 defensive players in free agency. So, they're... It's going to be fine. Will it be perfect? No. Are they going to be the 84 Bears? No. But they've got a great offense that I think got better. And
100%.
They should score a lot of points. So
if you're telling
me
that this top 5 offense didn't get better and the 29th ranked defense didn't get better, again, I don't know what fucking world you're living in. Chuck, I know this is kind of out of your realm, but we talk a lot about this. What, you know, I as an outsider, I would love your thoughts.
Yeah,
on
give us your thoughts.
Kind of
this.
Like overall, your takeaways for possibly an interesting Lions season and what you kind of see.
No, yeah, I'll start with the draft because I think that what you talked about earlier with Witherspoon and how he came off the board at 5, and then you guys traded back. I think that just set the whole like everything in motion. They were like, okay. That plan A is done. We're on to plan B, and that's get our guys when we can get them. And they did so in a pretty smart manner. It's not, you know, they got picks for their picks, and you know,
shit, they
I think
were up
they
and down well. All over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, most of their picks were a reach, but exactly what Phil said. Did our offense get better? Did our defense get better? 100% yes. And with some teams like the Dolphins, you don't know if they did. And I mean, I feel like with pretty good confidence, you can say that about the Lions. I definitely am excited for the Lions season coming up into, I mean, honestly, I've been following pretty hardcore since about last season. And so, I mean, I'm excited to see, like you said, Montgomery, Gibbs in the backfield. I think that they're just as like defenses just won't know which way they're going kind of thing. It's going to create a lot of, I mean, obviously right up tackles, whatever. But I think that they, I mean, especially on the Gibbs's tape and you've seen it out of Montgomery, it's got good vision, you know, even for smaller guys to see those gaps and to shoot through them, that speed component. As a Dolphins fan, I know how much speed could help us. Like, I don't think we had any business being as good as we were last season, but it was because of the two super fast wide receivers. And yeah. when Tua was healthy, he could get him the ball. And our yeah. coach understood what our identity was at that point. So speed mm-hmm. kills 100%.
Yeah.
True. And I think to your point of Goff was coming from a bad situation last year. He was, you know, he felt kind of unwanted probably, even though he got the job with the Lions. It's hard not to feel that way, but I think he's in a much better headspace now, integrated with the offense. Like, the boys know each other. It feels like a lot more continuity coming into this season, which is always good.
I totally agree.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I guess that's what I got.
Hey, that's mm-hmm. why we got this guy. He makes it sound smart. He at least sounds like what he's doing. I think we do see a lot of dual back formations from Ben Johnson in the offense. I mean, you just gave a guy that was about to leave and become a head coach after one really incredible season as an offensive coordinator, and you just gave him those Laporte, Gibbs, like, you just gave him weapons, even Antoine Green. Like, I really think he's going to make the team, and he's going to be that, like, kind of like what DJ Shark was for us last year, was just run straight. Get mm-hmm. up, get big, that, you know? So
that was one of my things with him. I think there's reason to be excited, but I was just like, everyone's just so much faster and mm-hmm. more locked down in the NFL. I was just wondering if he was just so open because of the quality of defense.
Totally.
But he did. I mean, there was definitely a bunch of contested catches and stuff. Him in the back of the end zone, kind of wrestling with a guy and making the play. So that impressed me.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess just one quick thing here for our Dolphins fans that are listening. any thoughts on your four picks that you had, Preston? I just want to give you a little time here as we brought you in as a guest.
You're good. I'll be quick. But basically, I'm not super happy with the draft. We got, like, we drafted, gosh, where are my notes at here again?
Oh, he's got notes.
We got a cornerback, we got an already pretty deep cornerback room. Like, we're pretty stocked up there. But it's nice to have because, I mean, both of our top corners went down last year. So I think they just have a little bit of PTSD from that.
And you guys got Jalen Ramsey, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay, so it's nice. Like, interesting for our round two first pick 51. Then we picked Devon Achane, I believe it is, from running back from Texas A&M. You know, watching the film, I'm just like, we already have these types of running backs. He's a smaller, shifty back kind of guy. You know, he's not. We need a bell cow. That's what the Dolphins need. We need a bell cow. And we didn't really get one. I mean, we got Raheem Mostert. We did snag Myles Gaskin. And gosh, who's the other guy? But basically, I was just like, we literally have three of these. I was just a little bit like, eh. And then wide receiver, which I do think we need wide receiver depth. It's an okay pick for me, Elijah Higgins from Stanford. And I guess he also plays a little bit of tight end, which we do need tight end because we let Mike Gesicki walk in free agency. He signed with the Pats. And then my favorite pick of our draft was Ryan Hayes. Round 7, pick 238, out of Michigan. Left tackle. We need a tackle. I kind of wish we would have got a right tackle. Maybe we'll move him there just because that's to his blind side.
Yeah.
Being a lefty. But, you know, his game film looked great. He finishes through the play all the way. He's, you know, quick feet, kind of big hands, you know, all the stereotypical things you would say basically there. So I was pretty happy with that. And I think that he could have gone higher. So I was stoked to get him at round 7, pick 238.
And do you think that that's a huge need? I mean, keeping Tua healthy has got to be number one priority, right?
That's why I was kind of upset that we didn't pick an offensive lineman with our first pick in round 2. Okay. But, you know, what I'll say is they probably just didn't have you know, they're like, you know, there's other needs, but I've just like, you went with a cornerback. So like, I don't know. I almost would have wished we picked practically anything else. Besides a cornerback with that first one. So I just thought, we did bring in a couple of linebackers, but I still think we need them. We brought in David Long from the Titans, Malik Reed from Pittsburgh. But we still need linebackers, because I felt like inside, like the Lions, we are kind of getting torched a little bit in the run game. Once they get past that line, it was like they would just burn or juke whoever was in the middle of the field, basically. Yeah. So I was just like, man, we need to shore that up too. But yeah, I mean, I guess overall I'd give our draft I give it a C- or D plus. Like it's not great. I'm not 100% sure where their head's at with some of these picks, but we'll see what happens. You know, like we've stated, you never know until 2 to 5 years down the road, really.
Yeah, but you also lost draft picks due to the tampering situation this year, right?
Yeah, we lost the 21st draft pick, so that really hurt. That really hurt. We could have used that badly.
And
I knew that was going to, as soon as that was announced, I was like so mad because it was Stephen Ross, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
don't get me started. It was very, very upsetting, and I knew that it was going to kind of screw us this year because I think we could have taken – I mean, people are talking about Super Bowl potential last year, but, you know, two injuries and whatnot. But this year I thought, okay, this is the year. And then that happened. We don't know what's going on with Tua. So I'm just tempering my expectations for the season. I hope we make the playoffs. And that's about kind of where I'm at with that.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. Awesome. We're gonna move on to a couple of quick things. These are the guys that the Lions draft, undrafted free agents. Now, the chance of even one of these guys making the team are slim to none, but you never know.
Practice squad, though, for sure.
There you go.
I think for at least two of these.
Adrian Martinez, Kansas State and Nebraska. He was in Nebraska for like 8 years. I think.
Yes, that's crazy.
35
I didn't know that.
Years old, Adrian Martinez, but he's a Lion now. Running back.
How old is he?
I don't know. Running back Muhammad Ibrahim, Minnesota. He's got $100,000 guaranteed. Thank you.
Yeah, which they said is like being a seventh round draft pick. So that's why I feel like he's at least making some part.
Make a little money.
What's crazy is Adrian Martinez is only 23.
I don't know. Must have started there when he was 15. Okay.
Literally.
Wide receiver Chase Kota, Oregon, $80,000 guaranteed. Wide receiver Kadeon Thompson, Virginia. Offensive tackle Connor Galvin, Baylor. Offensive lineman Ryan Swoboda, UCF, University of Central Florida. That's what I'll say.
Yep.
Guard center Brad Cecil, USF, South Florida.
Yes, that's correct.
Defensive tackle Chris Smith, Notre Dame. Defensive tackle Corey Durden, North Carolina State, $40,000 guaranteed. Edge, Zach Morton, Akron. Linebacker Isaac D'Arcangelo, Illinois. Linebacker Trevor Nowoski, Saginaw Valley State. A little hometown cooking.
Let's go, Sag Nasty.
So
in
there's
the
all your defensive players that Paco wanted. Cornerback Starling Thomas,
the fifth
from University of Alabama at Birmingham. And safety, Brandon Joseph, Notre Dame, the one in Indiana, not in Paris. Two guys to try out at rookie minicamp, defensive back Xavier Bell out of Portland State and kicker John Parker, Tony Romo of the XFL Brahmas. 17 for 19 this year, Mr. John Parker Romo. I would say he's probably got the best chance of making the making the team out of all those guys, just because the kicking is all up in the air. Okay, real quick, there was an article by Mike Payton entitled "The Detroit Lions 2023 NFL Draft Hall Has Opened." Hang on, everybody. I'm going to say two words that really aren't said very often. They're going to open the Super Bowl window. And according to that, the sub-headline is, the Lions crossed the threshold of good team to great team during the NFL draft. That might be a little bit of hyperbole, okay? Considering people were talking seven games in the last season that they all might get broomed out if this kept going. So, you know, let's just, it says the article, I'm not going to read it, much parts of it. I just thought that was a pretty crazy headline. But I would say that the Lions would have to be the favorite to win the division this year. It really is their division to win. Unless, is it Jordan Love? Is he the guy at Green Bay now? Unless he's the next great quarterback in Green Bay history, then anything can happen. But the rest of the team in Green Bay is not very good anyways.
I mean, sorry to interrupt.
Sure, go ahead.
I would like to talk a little bit about the CBC while we have
betting
our
corner. Are we done with
that? Yep, the Cubs.
Okay.
What'd you say?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, this is about the futures and how this article is kind of showing some face to what the books are saying. The Lions are now your NFC North favorite at plus 130.
Wow.
With the next being the Vikings at plus 310.
Wow.
Bears plus 320. Green Bay plus 410.
Wow.
To win the conference, NFC Championship winners, Lions have the fourth best odds to win at plus 900. And at Super Bowl future, they have the ninth best odds. They're in the top 10. They're at number 9 at plus 2,200. The teams in front of them are the Ravens, Jets, Cowboys, Bengals, Niners, Bills, Eagles, Chiefs. So again, just to put into some perspective, yes, the Cubs betting corner will be back. We might even have Chuck on as a possible weekly guest.
Absolutely.
You know, this has been really...
We'd love to do it.
Come on in and tell us where to bet.
I just think, again, BNL, brand new Lions.
That's right. It's not the same old Lions.
And also, with this being said, the city of Detroit is now on the clock.
They're on the clock. Oh, they're on the clock, ladies and gentlemen. They are on the clock down at Campus Martius.
Now we have about 358 days to get ready for what will be, you know, we're going to have, everyone's invited to the draft extravaganza for the Lion of the Cup podcast.
Oh, is it going to be exciting times?
It is going to be exciting times.
Absolutely.
You want to tie it all with a bow here, Pops?
I got one other thing that's not listed on the prep here. One thing here, one NFL thing. Former Raiders wide receiver Henry Riggins III to plead guilty to fatal DUI case.
Yeah, a blind plea, I believe, is what he agreed to.
Is that right? Like an what is it called? An Alford plea, where you don't admit you did anything wrong, but you know that, Jesus.
Yeah,
he's going 156 miles an hour when he killed that woman and her dog. 156 miles an hour. Here's a little tip for anybody that's listening. If your car was made less than 10 years ago, they have all kinds of telemetry information in there. It's... You can't get away with shit after an accident. It's all in there. So, but he's 3 to 10 years is what they're saying. 3 to 10.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yep. 3 to 10, which means he'll serve 2 with good time.
Yeah, he'll be back in the league a couple, 3 years. And yeah, the Cub and I went down to Ford Field for a little scouting expedition. Went to the USFL game on Sunday. I think we had a good time. I had fun. You know, it's football.
I had a blast. Why are you trying to say that I didn't have fun?
I understand
that
the Cubs.
What are you
trying to say? Well, the Cubs spent the whole time refreshing his phone furiously because somebody didn't do something and then he was bummed. So.
Yeah, I might have lost a little money on the NBA that day.
He was a little unhappy bummed with that.
But I will say we got a great pitcher together.
Did
you
we?
Got your picture with DeAndre Swift? Yeah, when we sat on that
big-ass... Send those over to me, would you, bud?
Yeah, I'll send them over to you via email here. Yeah, the big...
Thank you.
The big chair. We took a nice little cute picture.
Yes, we did. Detroit Lions, big chair. We look like
you might have took a couple other offensive pictures, but I won't bring those up.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
And besides the guy that was in our row...
Oh,
that just wanted
there's always one like
questions.
That. There's always one
he
like
was
that.
Asking me questions I don't know if he thought I was 60 or something, but he kept saying,
hey, careful.
Does that guy look like he played in the NFL? I go, well, he looks 100. So when he played, he, you know, 80 years ago, sure.
He is he runs the USFL, Moose Johnston. You know who owns the USFL? I looked today.
Who owns the USFL?
Fox Sports. They're the owners.
Oh, so that makes sense.
So no, it ain't going off TV anytime soon. They had, well, I sent you the tweet today how there was more people that watched the first game than watched the Michigan game that we went to, which I was funny because there was maybe 100 people at the first game. And then that got, what was it, close to 1 million viewers?
Yeah.
They're getting eyes. If you're getting eyes, I mean, it's not NFL eyes, but if you're getting eyes.
Yeah, but I also feel like that earlier game wasn't competing with NBA playoff basketball.
Yeah, and baseball.
I guess it was, though. Yeah.
Tigers, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but it was fun. If you want to go to see quasi-professional football at a cheap rate, I did get a link.
To sit in the front row.
I got a link to fill out a survey, and I told them you can't charge the same price food-wise that you charge for a Lions game. And then
if I
looked
for every time someone going, it's like the movies. The concessions are more.
Well, I was looking at how much they charge $20 for us to park.
Yep.
How much do you think they're charging for concerts at Ford Field? Like, I don't know, there's some country guy and then there's Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
$50 to park your car.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I believe it was probably how much do you think it is to park where we park during a Lions season?
I don't know.
Yeah,
probably $50.
Yeah.
But it was insane. $50 to park your car? I'm sorry, maybe I'm an old cheap fucker, but one day you're going to be like my age and you're going to go, do you know it's $200 to park your car at Ford Field? Yeah. And you're just going to go, my dad thought 50 was crazy.
That's probably literally true, though. That's going to be
that's when
it's
crazy.
And $50 is insane.
I can't see how this, if they want people to come into the games, they got to cheapen shit. And just, the tickets are cheap. Get people down there, but don't charge. I got a Slim Jim. Mm. Fries and a drink. It was $27. I mean,
not an actual Slim Jim.
Yeah, it was.
It's a
sandwich.
Big boy's sandwich,
and it was small.
And it was trash.
It tasted all right, but it was small.
Yeah.
So, okay. Do we have anything else?
No, I feel good, Chuck. Anything else you'd
Nothing
like?
Nothing on my end.
Perfect.
Hey,
just
Chuck.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
I'm going to get a lot of buzz on the Twitter sphere about this, Chuck. What does the P stand for in Chuck P. Stone?
It's just for Preston.
Chuck Preston Stone. Okay.
Well, it's just P. Stone, Preston kind of shortened with
Preston.
Just making it a little.
Preston.
Just making it sound a little better.
Okay. Chuck P. Stone does have quite a ring to it. It's very good. It's going to look nice on our swag. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. Use code ROAR at checkout for 25% off swag with Chuck P. Stone on it.
Chuck P. Stone swag on sale? Absolutely. Somebody's going to
go
looking
for
that.
And make sure that if you roar in the middle of your adjustment, your 10th adjustment is 20% off.
Yep.
There it is.
Yep.
I forgot about that one. Thanks for reminding the loyal followers here, Phil.
Yeah, thank you. Well, again, thank you, Chuck, for joining us. I always appreciate you. Chuck is a lifelong friend of mine. Really excited to, get to share some fun stuff with this.
Bring him into the fold. It's amazing.
I think we'll be able to see some more Chuck here in the future, hopefully. I do have to talk to my co-producer and creator, but we'll see what we can do. But more importantly, thank you guys again for another awesome second season, and we are super excited to be back here for a third season. You guys might have started to get worries, but have no fear. That's called an off season, and both the Lion and I are both adults with jobs and family and
lives.
Shit happens.
Yep.
And so again, we appreciate you sticking around, but you guys will be seeing us for, once the season starts again. You might not hear from us for a couple of weeks.
We'll probably pop in as any kind of news happens. Maybe we'll do some shorter podcasts just to cover.
Yep.
We'll just jump on there and whip it out, as they say.
But more importantly, you should make sure you follow us on Twitter at Lion Cup Podcast. Follow us on the Instagram, same thing. LionInTheCupPodcast.com. I would tell you to use our affiliate link, but
no.
We got banned. So
screw Bezos.
Yeah. So.
Fuckers.
But other than that, as always, thank you, thank you, thank you, and we will see you next time.
Okay. Fire. Roar.
Chuck.
Fire.
Yeah.
That's the good news.